Good morning. This is Pastor Todd. I want to thank you for tuning in to the Gathering Place podcast. This week, I am sharing a message for the church. I trust the Lord uses it to encourage and build you up. And here is this week's message.
So this week, we're continuing our series on Messianic Psalms. And I didn't realize this until after I'd put it together. Starts out with Messianic Psalms, and then ends up more as like an exposition in 2 Corinthians. So, yeah, gotta love the journeys of sermon preparation. So, dear Lord, I pray that you would anoint my mind, anoint my heart, anoint my words to speak your heart. And Father, anything that comes out that is from you, let it stick. And if anything comes out that's in the flesh, let it fall by the wayside, Lord. Because you have chosen our preachers to be conduits of your word. And sometimes we don't always communicate that well. And so we trust you to let your heart shine through, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so I'll give you guys a fair warning. I'm going to touch on some hot topics today. Not so much the politics, but what's going on in society. And since everything is so politicized, it kind of ends up being political. Just giving you a warning on the front end, because we are in Twilight. I'm going to name off the slide numbers so you can follow along. Slide number one. So we're doing Psalm 45. We are increasingly dealing with an ideology or a series of ideologies in America today that reject wholesale what people throughout history have hailed as good and right for a thriving society. You can go on to slide two. Intact family units are under assault. The idea of personal responsibility is offensive, is hailed as offensive. Responsibility for your own life, for your family, for whatever your organizational unit is. Respect for property is under attack. And defending your property from this disrespect is under attack. Law and order is under attack. And all of these items that have been affirmed throughout history are exemplified in the American Constitution. That we as a nation have a foundation that is intertwined. Now, it doesn't mean that America is a theocracy. It's not a Christian nation. Right? There's a difference. But the foundation has been intertwined with a Christ-centered focus. When you look at how it came about, when you look at the primary sources, the documents that's gone out, that's been written, that's been put up. From the Puritan Covenant right off of Plymouth Harbor in 1620 to the prayers from the leaders of the nation during the Continental Congress and even the Civil War attest to this focus on the God of the Bible, the Jesus of the Bible, as a focal point to which our nation should be looking. In our day and age today, and this is slide number three, we're looking at a place where local and federal government officials have instituted cashless bail for criminals. And I've seen the arguments on that. Releasing convicted felons in response to COVID concerns. Shutting down border restrictions from illegal immigrants, remaining inactive at one-ton property destruction. And in fact, and then you can go on to slide number four, the only people being targeted are those who defend these rights and these properties, like Cal Rittenhouse from Antioch. You know, that's where I live, Antioch. Giuliani, right? The FBI just raided his apartment now that this whole thing is blown up. So in our current environment, we can look at the warning, as Christians, we can look at the warning posted in Isaiah 5 because it has an all-too-real application for our nation. So this is what it says in Isaiah 5. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight, Woe to those who are heroes at drinking wine and champions at mixing drinks, who acquit the guilty for a bribe, but deny justice to the innocent. Therefore, as tongues of fire lick up straw and as dry grass sinks down into the flames, so their roots will decay and their flowers blow away like dust. For they've rejected the law of the Lord Almighty, spurned the word of the Holy One of Israel. Therefore, the Lord's anger burns against his people. His hand is raised and he strikes them down. The mountains shake and the dead bodies are like refuse in the streets. So that was slides 5 through 9. Slide 10, in times like these, it can be unnerving. Like, I've even felt like the stress, you know, working in a school district, you know, going into Menards and Walmart, you can just feel this tension. You know, anytime I look up the news, it's just, oh, it's right there in your face. It can be unnerving. That's why we have the opportunity to look to Jesus and to his scriptures for a reminder of who he is and what his heart is in all of this. It reminds us where our central focus lies, where our hope resides, and where we get our bearings. So this week we're going to continue our series on the Messianic Psalms with Psalm 45. And so here's a little back story, a little context for Psalm 45. They tend to think that this is a royal wedding psalm, that somebody wrote this for a wedding, because at the beginning it addresses a king. And in those days, they would refer to the king like, "You king, O God," right? And you're like, "What? Really?" Here it means that the king is acting as God's representative. That's how they did things back then. And then the queen is mentioned in the latter half. And they think it could have been a wedding psalm written for King Solomon in mind. And if that's the case, this psalm is possibly dated to around 900 BC, a long time ago. But the esteem and the praise that's issued to this king as reflected of his pursuit of justice and his love of righteousness begins to set the stage for parts of this psalm being equally applied to Jesus. So Psalm 45, verses 6 and 7 are what we're dealing with today, and this is slides 12 and 13. It says, "Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. A scepter of justice will be the scepter of your kingdom. You love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, your God has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy." So we find this passage, these two verses, directly applied to Jesus in the New Testament in Hebrews chapter 1. So we can get on to slide number 14. Before we read Hebrews 1, we're going to look at the little context for Hebrews. We don't know who wrote Hebrews. At the end of the day, we just don't know. Some people like to think it was either Paul or Barnabas, somebody in that group. What we do know is that the author wrote it early enough to be alive during the same time as the apostles. He knew a lot about the Old Testament scriptures. He was most likely a Jew. And the author was familiar enough with how to see Old Testament passages through a messianic lens. Because of that, we can get this application of Psalm 45, 6 through 7, in what we can call this high Christ-centered introduction in Hebrews. So I'm going to read the first 9 verses, but we're going to focus on the latter half of it. "In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name of his inheritance. As the name he has inherited as superior to theirs. For to which of the angels did God say, 'You are my son, today I have become your father'? Or again, I will be his father and he will be my son. And again, when God brings his firstborn into the world, he says, let all God's angels worship him. And speaking of the angels, he says, he makes his angels spirits and his servants flames of fire. And here he pulls out Psalm 45. But about the Son, he says, your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. A scepter of justice will be the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy. So those are our passages recited possibly to King, for, about King Solomon and his wedding way back 900 BC, now being applied to Jesus in the New Testament. So what does that mean? What does that mean for us today? So we'll move into slide 22. We as Christians, right, we can only say this for people who identify as Christian, who are redeemed under the blood of Jesus. We live under the government of God, also known as the kingdom of heaven. So that's where our ultimate allegiance lies. As a result, and you can move on to slide 23, our actions, from our habits to our purchases, are included in that. In a representative government like the U.S., because not all governments are representative, it also means the way we decide and the way we vote on our representatives, the way we vote on bills, and so on and so forth. This should be reflective of our economy, right? The value system of the kingdom of heaven. So we vote our values. Because it's a representative government, that has to be present. So as Christians living in the U.S. today, there are things we can do that reflect our kingdom priorities. It's not to say that we put all of our hope in a basket of political officials and legalities. Our hope is in Jesus. And we can be a part of government in that process. It's just that we don't bank everything on that. So it does say that, you know, if we can, we be as involved as possible. Why? So slide 24. Because the political arena is just as much a part of this world where we are partnering to usher in the reign of God, right? Bring in the government of God to earth. Now, it's not fully going to happen until he returns, but we're here to kind of prime the real estate for that to happen. And so politics and voting and a representative government in America is just as much a part of that mission as any other arena, like entertainment or the marketplace or even the educational arena. Because all of this falls under Jesus' scepter of justice, his kingship. It should all be reflective of God's love of righteousness and his hatred wickedness. So slide 25, and this is where I said it ends up turning into an exposition on 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once our obedience is complete. So for years, I've taken this section of Scripture and thought through that in terms of an individualized effort to improve my own thought process. That's still true. Even to this day, if an errant thought comes in my mind, sometimes I'll even utter the prayer, I take that thought captive to the obedience of Christ. I do that in my own thought life. I do that. When I step back and look at it, and I look at the scope of God's reign, right? The kingdom of God, his scepter, not just about my individual internal life. I mean, it's global in scope. I mean, it's cosmic in scope. I mean, if you want to get technical. So his reign is more than just my personal growth. So now when I look at this passage, I have to come to the conclusion that these also have an application in the communal and public spheres as well. So these passages now carry more weight than just a self-improvement monologue. So let's look at these verses with the idea that maybe they apply on a broader scale outside of the individual. Okay, so what does this mean? Slide 29. We'll start with the weapons we fight with have divine power to demolish strongholds. What are the strongholds? Strongholds can include individual unhealthy habits, individual mindsets, individual addictions, demonic influences, toxic codependent relationships, and, you can move on to slide 30, they also include physical strongholds, like Jericho, way back in the day, right? Ideological strongholds, things that are anti-Christ, anti-life, anti-family. To throw out some examples, BLM, Marxism, abortion, the diversity, equity, inclusion trainings, critical race theory, social justice, because none of this is biblically based. And if you look at the origins and the research that gave rise to these, they're anti-Christ ideologies. So when we look at these verses, the weapons we fight with have divine power to demolish these strongholds. So you can skip to slide 32 because we're moving on. Divine power to demolish arguments and pretensions that set themselves up against the knowledge of God. Because if all truth and fact is God's truth and God's fact, then anything that perverts, misrepresents, or denies truth and fact falls under the scope of what our weapons are empowered to demolish. What does that include? On the individual level, lies we believe that people have told us and that we tell ourselves. So we have the ability to demolish lies that have crept into our own thought process. If we've ever heard people say, you'll never amount to anything, you're too stupid to do any better, you're wasting your time trying to better your life, or that you're a sellout to your people for aspiring to do better. Those are all lies. And the truth of God, the Spirit of God, has the power to demolish that and to change us. It also moves on to more public arenas, perversions of truth, of lies in the public, like there's an epidemic of black men being killed by cops. The numbers just do not show that. But the problem is that we conflate the frequency we see it in the media as the frequency of which it actually happens, and it's just not true. There is no epidemic of anybody being killed on a mass scale by cops. Where the idea that people refusing to get the COVID vaccine are a threat to public health. Now, I know this COVID thing, it's a nasty disease. I mean, it's a nasty virus. The actual numbers on the death rate are about the same level as the flu. But you see a lot of stuff being conflated with it. Having medical officials saying that guns are a public health crisis. Guns have not been a public health crisis. Or the CDC saying that racism is a public health epidemic. Or hearing something like, if you're white, you're unconsciously racist and you don't even know it. Like, you can't even prove that. Like, you can't prove the unconscious. There's no science behind that. If you question the integrity of the last election, then you're a conspiracy theorist. But nobody's looking at the evidence, right? The evidence is there, it's free. You can go look at Mike Lindell's documentaries on it. They just did a forensic study of all the stuff and put it out in the public. With the idea that defunding the police is going to be a good idea. I mean, like, these are public ideas that set themselves up against the knowledge of Christ. So as Christians, we have a place to counteract that. And we have the truth of Scripture to do that. Now, I'm not anti-medicine. I'm not anti-science. But I want the numbers, right? I want, like, the legit numbers. I don't want the 40% inflation because if somebody died in a motorcycle accident who who happen to have COVID, therefore it's a COVID test. Okay, so I'm going to step away from that. Scripture tells us we have divine power to take both individual and public arguments captive to the obedience of Christ. Because Jesus is the one that will separate the wheat from the chaff. Now, the wheat and chaff thing talks about souls on Judgment Day, changing the application to Christ-centered, true ideology versus antichrist ideology. I'm doing that. It's an opinion. Just letting you know, it's an opinion. You can throw it out if you want. The church has the authority to call out things that go against the righteous reign of Jesus and his claim on the governments of the earth. So slide 34, we're probably jumping ahead a little bit, Twyla. Slide 34. We don't even think too much about this verse here. We, the church, will be ready to punish every act of disobedience when our obedience is complete. Have you ever thought that the church would have a hand in punishing injustice? It's kind of like make you pause and think about like what we thought the role of the church was, like, and what it does entail and what it does not entail. But we got to get our own lives in order first, right? Got to get the beam out of our own eye. Got to get our own obedience right before we can help a speck in our brother's eyes. Now, this isn't vigilantism, and it's being a conduit of God's justice and God's love, because there's no separation between God's justice and God's love. But we're being a conduit of that through our lives and into our communities. So slide 35, what can we do? Now, I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm just giving you some options, because I've followed some podcasts and some news streamers, and at the end of the day, you know, outside of prayer, have been really frustrated just thinking like, man, what can I even do about all of this? Like, what can I do? And so then I started thinking, oh, there are some things that I can do. So these are what I've come up with. Now, there's other things. If you got other solutions, great. This is what I'm presenting. And the most powerful weapons we have are the Word of God, our prayer, righteous living, carrying the presence of God wherever we go. Those are our weapons. It's not the handguns. I like guns. It's not the handguns. It's not fist fights. It's not yelling at people because they're on one side of the fence with a mask and you're on the other side of the fence with a mask. That's not our weapons. Our weapons are the Word of God, prayer, righteous living, and carrying the presence of God where we go. That we boldly declare the truths, any truth in fact, is God's truth in fact. If it's true, we got to make sure it's true, it's not just opinion, right? But we boldly declare the truths of God in the face of the lies, in the face of false assertions, in the face of slandering, so on and so forth. Slide 36. One of the things we can do, we can get involved. In all the areas of society, we seek the Lord on what and where we can get involved with. Like, I mean, we have some examples. I don't know if, let's see here. You're probably going to slide 37. Examples like parents ousting the entire school board over critical race theory. So you can get involved with your school systems. You can ask probing questions about critical race theory. You can ask probing questions about the 1619 Project. Or the diversity, equity, inclusion trainings. You got another example. Black mother takes a blowtorch to critical race theory. There's a video, probably banned on YouTube, but you could find it on Rumble if you wanted. She just levels it in front of a school board. You can vote on the local level. A lot of times we'll just vote in like the national level, but people don't get on the national scene unless they start kind of working up on the local. And let's get involved on the local level. Try to attend local political rallies. Interview the candidates on their policies when they are approachable. Because, you know, when they're running for Senate for the United States, the average Joe is probably not going to be able to go up and ask them a question. You can write to your senators and your congressmen about important bills that you have an opinion about. Like, you can do that. That's all part of the system. Another thing, slide 38, you can be informed about what's truth and what's a lie. If you want some sources for more information, here's a few that I've looked at. The MyPillow guy, right? Mike Lindell. He's created three documentaries about the scientific evidence of corruption in the voting machines. Like all the way down to the IP addresses that were hacked in, that were traced to things like China and Russia. So you can look at that. If you've never heard of it, then maybe that's something worth looking into. Frontline Medicine has medical, educational, and legal protection to help people dealing with the government-mandated health requirements. Because, I got vaccinated, right? And I'm okay being vaccinated. At the end of the day, it's still an experimental drug, right? It's not been fully approved by the FDA. I don't know where you stand on the vaccine. Maybe you're pro, maybe you're not pro. And that's something that you'll take up with the Lord and make a decision best to your family. Here's a medical resource that can help you make informed decisions. So you can look them up, Frontline Medicine. Southern Baptist Church Pastor Vody Balkman is a really good source when it talks about like counteracting critical race theory and what social justice is and is not. One of my favorite podcast guys is Eric Metaxas. Solid Christian, charismatic, if you didn't know that. He's charismatic, yeah. He just had Jonathan Kahn on there recently. But he knows everybody. He's interviewed everybody from Lynn Wood all the way to Jonathan Kahn to what's his name? California preacher that stood up to the government, big church. John MacArthur. I mean, he's got everybody on there. And he's Greek. He's Greek. You know? So those are some of the guys that I've gotten some information from. You know, like, they're not my, like everything, but if you're thinking, like, where do I even start? Well, there's a starting point, you know? Take it or leave it. There's a starting point. So, and then finally, slide number 40. Buy from companies that don't support policies and movements that propagate the lies. Now, that's kind of hard because a lot of them have thrown their lot in there, and it's really hard to figure out. But you can find the ones that are very brazen about it, right? So here are the ones that I'm not buying from anymore. Coca-Cola, because voting laws, right? They were very adamant about that. And their training that came out 6 months ago, be less white in your approach to people. You know what? If you're going to train people to be less white, I'm a white guy. If you don't like me being a white guy, then maybe I just won't buy your product. That's just me, right? Kohl's and Bed Bath & Beyond, because they pulled Mike Lindell's stuff off the shelves because he said, hey, there might be a problem with the voter stuff. And so they quit carrying his stuff. So, you know what? Fine, I don't have to buy from him. Nike. What's Nike doing? They're still dealing with factories that are using slave labor in China. You know, the Uyghur Muslims. Like, they're doing business with that section in China to make their products. Target, because they're a huge support of all this destruction that's been going on. NFL and the Major League Baseball, you know. There's a saying now on some of the conservative stuff, go woke, go broke, right? Because, like, if you throw your lot in there, the people that don't agree with that just aren't going to buy it, right? So Twitter, Facebook. I even pulled out of my own school district's union because they support this DEI training stuff. That's me. You know, I made a decision. I'm not going to buy from these guys because I know where they've decided to stand, and it's against my principles. Now, I'm not saying everybody do that. I'm not saying this is what you should do. I'm saying in my life, from what I know, this is something that I don't want my money going towards. And so I'm not going to buy there. It's pretty simple for that. So one of the most powerful things you can do is choose where to spend your money. For me, knowingly spending money on companies that support Antichrist movements is basically tithing to an Antichrist false religion. That's me. Now, I'm not saying that's for everybody, but that's my conviction, so that's why I've decided to stay away from that. and just being open with it, just being honest. For me, it does kind of fall into the same principle in 1 Corinthians where it talks about eating meat sacrificed to idols, right? Where Paul says, if you know, and it might hurt somebody, probably just don't do it. Morally, like what you put in your body, what you eat, right, doesn't have a super powerful effect on your spirit, right? So use your best judgment, make your best decisions. If you sit down and the person that you're eating with is like, oh, by the way, this was sacrificed to an idol, just trying to like, don't eat it. But, you know, if you do, you know what, you're not going to go to hell, right? So that's kind of where all of this falls for me. Like, I'd like to be, for me, it's not a sin issue, it's a wisdom issue, right? Is it wise for me to spend money on companies that I know are supporting ideas that are antichrist? Is that wise for me? I don't think that's wise, so I'm not going to do it. That's all. So in conclusion, I told you it's going to get a little bit hot topic-y and a little bit political. Forewarned. So in conclusion, you can go to slide 41. Romans 13 talks about submitting to government authorities. It's absolutely true. You know what? I'm compliant. You know, when I walk into Menards and they have a mask mandate, I'd prefer not to wear a mask, personally. They have a mask mandate, I will respect the policy and wear the mask, right? I work in a school district. Right now they have a mask mandate, even though everybody in my building, and I'm only in that building, has been vaccinated. We shouldn't have to wear masks, but they still want us to wear masks. So I wear the mask, right? Like, I'm not belligerent about it, but I'm open with my opinion. Like, I'd rather not, you know, I'd rather not wear my mask. That's me. I'm just being honest about it, right? Submit to governing authorities. And that statement is true until they cross the line of restricting and dictating your practice of the faith. Like when they start illegalizing your worship, how you worship, then it's no longer Christ-like to comply. Jesus taught about counting the cost of discipleship. You can go to slide 42 if you want. In today's day and age, what is the cost of standing for the faith? What is the cost for noncompliance? And is it a cost that we're willing to pay? It's just a question, right? We all have to answer that in our own hearts, with our own conviction, in our own dialogue with the Lord. Slide 43. When the government enacts unjust policies, we stand against injustice, right? When the media propagates lies about through selective reporting, we boldly declare the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Since we live in a representative government, it's totally our place to ensure that we are represented in the different arenas. So we get involved. It's valid and it's important for a person of the Christian faith to be involved in the public, in the educational, in the entertainment, in the political arenas. We have unbounded access to information. We have more access to information than any other age in the world. So it is kind of our responsibility to be informed about what's going on. I mean, look at both sources. I mean, like, maybe you don't like some of the sources I've cited. Well, go look. Try to get a balanced approach. All I have to do is click on New York Times, NBC, and CNN, and I pretty much know what the opposing side is, right? So I can look at point and counterpoint. Make an informed decision. Follow some sources that you trust. I gave you a few of mine. Next point, be judicious on where you buy. Like, if you're okay buying Coca-Cola, then go buy Coca-Cola. I don't, right? That's my decision. So I'm gonna wrap this up with a concluding prayer. This is slide 44. This is the concluding prayer for our nation from the first prayer of the Continental Congress in 1774 by Reverend Jacob Duché, who was the rector of Christ Church of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, high and mighty King of Kings, and Lord of Lords. Who dost from thy throne behold all the dwellers on earth and reignest with power supreme and uncontrolled over all the kingdoms, empires, and governments. Look down in mercy, we beseech thee, on these our American states, who have fled to thee from the rod of the oppressor and thrown themselves on thy gracious protection, desiring to be henceforth dependent only on thee. To thee have they appealed for the righteousness of their cause. To thee do they now look up for that countenance and support which thou alone canst give. Take them, therefore, Heavenly Father, under thy nurturing care. Give them wisdom in counsel and valor in the field. Defeat the malicious designs of our cruel adversaries. Convince them of the unrighteousness of their cause, and if they persist in their sanguinary purposes, of own unerring justice, sounding in their hearts, constrain them to drop the weapons of war from their unnerved hands in the day of battle. Be thou present, O God of wisdom, and direct the counsels of this honorable assembly. Enable them to settle things on the best and surest foundation, that the scene of blood may be speedily closed, that order, harmony, and peace may be effectually restored, and truth and justice, religion and piety, prevail and flourish amongst the people. Preserve the health of their bodies and vigor of their minds. Shower down on them and the millions that they represent such temporal blessings as thou seest expedient for them in this world, and crown them with everlasting glory in the world to come. All this we ask in the name and through the merits of Jesus Christ, thy Son and our Savior. Amen. And so as we wrap up, Michael and Casey are going to lead us in a closing worship prayer. And then we'll enjoy the rest of the week.
Hello again. This is Pastor Todd. I pray the Lord uses my message today to strengthen your walk with God. If you are blessed by this message and would like to support the ministry of The Gathering Place financially, I encourage you to use our online giving portal at tgpchicago.org. The portal uses PayPal's secure site, so none of your information is compromised. Once again, thank you for tuning in to The Gathering Place podcast. God bless you, and have a great week.